other yak babies, sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by Lewis's Sluices, Sluice Gates for every occasion.
Really, we're going to do Bonnie that way?
Yeah.
Since she heard that episode, it's probably only fitting.
Hey, I just said Sluices. I didn't say what it is. I still say it wrong, too. Sluices, right?
Yeah, but Sluices, I prefer Sluice, yeah, for sure. That's the way.
It could be Lucis Sluices, but that sounds dirty.
That Lewis. Word basically to me is now pronounced Sluice.
Sluice. That's what I've always thought it was. I'd never heard Sluice before.
Lewis, and I'm going to start saying it in public and sound like an asshole.
Like how you often did. Do you talk about sluice gates in public?
Often, more often than you would think.
Yeah, especially now. Now that you have the business.
You're going to need a sluice gate t-shirt.
Well, I'm here. I'm Aaron. I'm here with Dave.
Hello.
And Britt.
Hi.
Hello. This week's episode is a very special episode. It's close to our hearts here at Yak Babies HQ here in the Yak Dome. Dave, tell us about this episode.
Well, the three of us read a story from a friend of the podcast, Bonnie West, from her collection Boyfriends.
Yes.
So we chose the first story in the collection, which is called Song Loon. I chose this one from that collection in part because it reminded me of a previous group read in some ways, our story club about Amy Bender's The Rememberer.
Yeah. There's an animal vibe here.
Some parallels, yeah.
Yeah. We should just real quick pull back a little bit. So Bonnie is one of our Patreon subscribers. And in exchange for her support for this podcast and for the good work being done by the Yak Babies, we are talking about her story and engaging with it. And that is available to you on patreon.com/yakbabies. You can go check it out there.
You can request pretty much anything you want us to read.
Yeah, basically.
It could be something you wrote. It could be something you like and want people to talk about.
Yeah, we'll do anything. Anything.
Aaron will do actually anything, and there's some things we can earn up. We're going to be soon earning enough money to legally change his name to Aaron Diarrhea.
Didn't we say we already had enough money to do
it? Yeah, it's $40 total.
Yeah, so we're...
Well, I think, Dave and I were ready to throw it down right then.
But okay.
It's better if it comes from the personal pills.
That makes sense. Okay, so, yes.
Okay, so the publisher is Ink Tears. Wanted to get that in.
T-I-E-R-S or T-E-A-R-S?
T-E-A-R-S. Ink Tears. One word. Published in 2016. January 1st. Happy New Year's present. Ink Tears.
Could be Tears.
Sure.
Let's talk about the story, Song Loon. What did you think about the story?
I liked it. I did.
Yeah, we like about it.
It's short. Which I do appreciate short stories. I don't like long ones for the most part. And I think it accomplishes in a pretty short amount of time, a fair amount. I think it's not, it does remind me of some other stories I've read.
Yeah.
But the way it's executed, I think, is pretty skillful. So I think we learn a lot about the narrator in a very short amount of time.
That first paragraph is great for giving those details,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. And I think the actions she chooses to move the plot of the story are unique.
Yeah.
You know, she becomes obsessed with swimming, basically, in a swimming pool, which is, yeah, I haven't read that. And then there's just enough of the husband and this Mei Ling that's a very easy thing to overwrite.
Yes.
But she showed a lot of restraint, I thought, right, and it came across pretty well, particularly the introduction of Mei Ling, which is a future, you know, one of those, I didn't know yet, but he would soon be having an affair with her,
which is
always a way of introducing a character that I appreciate, especially when it's the first time a story takes that jump.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pulled off pretty well. So there's a fair amount packed into a 5.5-page story. It's pretty dense, I think. But not necessarily, like, I don't think the writing is dense, but I think thematically it's pretty dense for such a short story.
Yeah, and not unlike we talked about with The Friend by Sigrid Nunez, the action of the story is pretty limited. It's mostly just swimming, but lots of things are sort of glommed onto that in really subtle, interesting ways. There's a lot sort of going on in the background, but I like how the story doesn't require you to sort of face that stuff head on necessarily, right? It kind of gives it to you. It trusts you to figure it out as you're going along. I respect that kind of writing as well. It makes it more fun to read than just sort of being bludgeoned with the plot consistently.
Yeah, for the most part, she's either swimming or she's in the middle of a definitely not over-explained or analyzed moment of tension with her husband.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are the kind of two poles of her life.
Yeah. The first paragraph, again, I brought that up earlier. I really was impressed by that, and I liked how this story, but that paragraph especially, dealt with body image and sort of sense of self. There's also later in the description of buying the swimsuit and talking about sort of how it didn't have a skirt and it was like the sort of, you know, her leg fat kind of rolling over the, I guess, leg holes of the swimsuit, whatever you want to call it. It was really vivid without being exploitative or without being like treacly, right? It sort of felt like a sincere discussion of that kind of body image and frustration, but also determination, I guess, at the same time. You know, the character's determination to get in the pool and swim and sort of meet this fitness challenge at the Y,
right,
is not cast as like this triumph necessarily, or sense like, well, oh, like we should feel so good for this person for doing something so good for themselves. It just kind of comes across as a thing she did that then had this like strange sci-fi effect on top of it. What did you make of the part where they almost catch the fish at the end? So she turns into a fish, spoiler alert. What would you think there when that was happening?
Well, how about first, let's, do you believe that she turned into a fish?
I do.
I do too.
Like literally?
Yes.
Is this going to be another friend scenario?
No, not necessarily.
There's a real interpretation that we missed.
Well, I did wonder, and I guess maybe there's... Okay, when she first dives into the Hudson and keeps swimming deeper and deeper and deeper, and she has a thought, something along the lines of, I don't need breath.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. I wondered if this was like a suicide
attempt
kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, there were enough details before that about like her skin turning blue, right? Even the bit about her feet itching when she gets in the pool, there's something wrong. It's not just the chlorine. It's like,
and she has webbed feet and hands.
Has webbed feet.
Small, yeah.
Yeah. I guess I took those clues to be more significant evidence that this was like a fantastic story in some regard, which I'm fine with. I'm totally happy with that.
And you likened it to the Tim Burton film Big Fish.
Big Fish, yeah, totally. Where you turn into a fish. She's in the tub, even as I thought of the image from that movie, like, oh yeah, turning into a fish or filling your fish.
Yeah, a movie you did not like, though. So for this different compares reasons. Favorably to that, yeah.
Yes, definitely. But yeah, when she almost gets caught at the end by her now, I guess, ex or her human former human husband and his mistress and son, I was like, oh no, don't do this, like, don't make it into a Twilight Zone ending. I'm glad it wasn't.
It almost felt like she was going to be the fish that had been referenced.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, I don't like that. And then luckily that wasn't what happened.
Like,
all right, I like it again.
Yeah, the next paragraph changed that and I was like, thank God, because I would have been very upset if it had just been like the dun 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 ending. Didn't feel like the character deserved that.
No, I agree.
Yeah. What else? There's one thing that I just wanted clarity on. I don't know. Let me see if I can find it. While I'm looking at this, you guys talk about...
Balls.
Yeah. Oh, here's a question not related to what I was just talking about, but while I'm looking for this, think about that. Did you have a sense of when this was set in terms of time? Did you get a sense of, like, period from this piece?
It felt like the 60s.
Okay, me too. But I wonder if that was because we were reading paperbacks before we read it.
I think it was the husband ship.
That too, yeah. Even the idea of like her description of herself in the bathing suit seemed kind of like 50s-ish to me too.
Including the skirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something else about it too. I got a very 50s, 60s vibe to it.
Maybe something about the way she described her work or her office setting.
Yeah, she's like, I'm just going to take a month off of work and no one's going to know.
That too,
So it seems like she didn't have a real job.
Yeah.
And then the husband's like, you need to go back to work to keep yourself busy.
Right.
Not because the world requires us to have two incomes to pay to live in New York City.
Right. Right. But then I wonder, because we had been reading 50s paperbacks right before that, if I'd just been influenced by thinking about Whose Body or Honey from a Dark Hive. So there's this passage on page 5. He told me Mei Ling's nephew had caught it in the river. He told me we were lucky, such a rare fish. I noticed he was starting to sound a little Chinese himself. He became angry when I wouldn't eat, but I couldn't. It made me queasy. What was that Chinese bit there? What did you make of that? Becoming Chinese himself.
So is that her way of saying I have known all along that he's been with Mei Ling, and so spending all this time with her,
I thought it was beginning to... Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
Huh.
No, go ahead.
I thought you were done and then you kept going. I thought it was setting up the theme of change.
Transformation, right? Yeah. But he's not actually transforming into a Chinese person, right?
Right, and you know, she's probably not actually turning into a fish, even though in the story she is actually turning into a fish. I think the theme of the story is people...
Oops, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think in the story he's not actually turning... I mean, maybe he is actually turning Chinese. You don't know. But I mean, I think what the story is saying about how people change, right? I think that's setting that up. For her, it's turning into a fish. For him, it's turning into someone else's husband and joining another, you know, another family unit or whatever, right?
Right.
So it's setting up that thematically. I don't think it really matters if it's literal or not, particularly for him. I think in the story it's pretty clear that she actually turns into a fish.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think the point of the story is if your marriage sucks, become a fish, right? there's people can change and transform and whatever it is you need to be becoming, do it.
Right. That makes sense. Well, final thoughts on the story? You covered everything I want to cover.
What's the name of the book?
Boyfriends by Ink Tears Press.
Yeah. Go out there and get it.
It's good. Yeah, there are other stories in it I like. I haven't read it for a while, but I did revisit a couple of them while trying to choose the most appropriate story for us. So
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bonnie, for letting us read this story and for supporting the Yak Babies podcast. We very much appreciate it. And thank you to all the rest of you for supporting this podcast and listening to us week after week and engaging with us on social media at Yak Babies on Twitter and emailing us at yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com. Let's talk Patreon for a second. So, like I mentioned earlier, Bonnie is a patron supporter of this podcast and has got access to the bonus content on Patreon, which is so much fun. Lots of weird things going on there. Yeah, it really is. Games, jokes, stories that can't be shared in polite company. All the wild stuff's happening on Patreon. The Patreon, it helps us pay for hosting the podcast as well. So I wanted to maybe clarify that. So our reason for having the Patreon in the first place is it helps us keep the podcast up and running, which is very nice. So that's why our tiers are very low, right? $1 a month gets you access to everything. That's all we really are asking.
It's like a better way to get to know us as people. Also.
It's really a more honest way of getting to us as people.
Absolutely.
Ass first.
There's a couple of really great episodes on the Patreon to promote. One most recent one was the author draft. We, three of us, including our erstwhile cross-coastal pal Nico, did an author draft where we had 8 categories of like things like a tallest author, shortest author,
most divorces,
most Google hits, that kind of thing, and sort of drafted authors accordingly and then scored them in a kind of a ramshackle manner. So you can imagine the results of that. It's a lot of fun. It's a 2-part episode and they're both quite good, if I do say so myself. There's the horror draft from last Halloween where we drafted monsters.
You were trying, but it didn't.
No.
I think it's a Southern accent thing because I say mirror the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Horror, mirror, doesn't.
Yeah, we're just going to have to call it a scary draft.
All the Brota Bros are on Patreon as well. Anyway, so that's enough pitching that. Like I said, $1 on patreon.com/yakbabies. Well, that's enough for now. Until next time, Yak Babies, yak it off.
The Yak Babies would like to send an extra thank you to everyone who listens regularly, and especially to those who have supported on Patreon, past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, and William Howard Taft.
Oh.